Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Faith Talks Light Prayer on Blog Talk Radio. And I am Dr. Shirley Caniff, General Manager here. I'm here with my husband, Jeffrey Caniff. And I'm not sure if today's the first day of spring, but let me tell you, we're from the New England area. We survived the three-day storm, nor'easter. But, you know, we had some significant flood in different parts of the state. But, you know, God kept everybody at bay. And it seems to be that we didn't have any casualties, just a lot of water in people's basements. And then God blessed us with wonderful spring weather before spring has sprung. So we had 75-degree weather yesterday. We're in for another 75-degree weather today. And it's March 20th on Saturday at 8:15. I just want to say God bless you, too, and hi to all my friends on Facebook as well as YouTube and MySpace and Vimeo and also Blog TV as well. These are the media outreach venues that we use for either Internet television or Internet radio. And I'm sure that we will be on others as time goes on, as we expand. I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, the other general manager, and he will be praying in a couple of minutes a blessing on this radio broadcast, as I always have him do, because, you know, that's, you know, where we work as one in ministry, and it's just appropriate, you know. The topic for today is going to be healing beyond the veil, and something unexpected happened to me a couple of nights ago when I least expected it, but I believe it was definitely in the economy of God's plan that I experienced this in my journey with Him, because you know, He gives us all tools, you know, that directs us on the road to our destiny. And sometimes there are obstacles that come from our past that get in the way or delay the future fulfillment of His promises and purposes in our life. And it's all leads to our destiny, our life calling, and sometimes it can be delayed because of unforgiveness, not trusting God, that He's in control, especially after we surrender to Him, and second-guessing Him, you know, which results in second-guessing Him, which many of, you know, His people are struggling with in their daily walk, in their daily lives with the Lord. All right, so the Lord had given me a dream, and before we go into it, you know, I'm going to have my husband pray. And it was regarding something in my childhood that I knew I was forgiven, but in the back of my mind, I was always wondering, oh, Lord, these things are so grievous to You. And it wasn't so much that I was the cause of things. It was things that were visited upon me when I was very, very young at different ages. And the thing is, it was more like it affected the choices in my early adulthood, choices that if I had a proper upbringing, if I had parents that were very faith-filled and spirit-filled, I really believe I wouldn't have experienced any of this, and I would have been in a better place in my road and on my in my walk and on the road to fulfill the calling that the Lord had for me. But you know, the Lord says that nothing is wasted and nothing is in vain. Okay, so we're going to talk about the significance of the dream and how it's also significant in a greater way for the body of Christ. The Lord has oftentimes spoken into my life through many people, and He's used them as confirmation about, you know, to give me a hint. I needed a lot of hints earlier on in my walk. I didn't even trust, there was a point that I didn't even trust that I was hearing from the Lord because I had so much coming against me. But at times, the Lord would speak loud and clear, and I part of me knew it, but then the other part, you know, because of my self-esteem and my confidence level and just the place that I was in, I just couldn't believe that God wanted to speak to someone like me who went through all these things. And so what happened was, you know, I would ignore the voice and then more things would befall me. But the essence of this whole broadcast is that, you know, if you've heard the other previous radio broadcasts, whenever I took, you know, was able to share or been released with, by the Lord to share these moments where He came into, He stepped into my time, into my life, and He's always, always there, but He, you know, to communicate with me His intentions, it was always because there would be a greater freedom released to the other body, to the to members of the body of Christ, or maybe people that are destined to become members of the body of Christ for some reason are being held back by the same kinds of things that held me back at times that had nothing to do with God. And so the point that I'm trying to make before my husband prays is that this is very significant. The Lord has shown me it's going to be, there's going to be many healing and deliverances in people's lives, and they are going to, by the end of this radio show, know they are forgiven, know that they are loved, and they are going to increase an expectant faith of the calling in their life. And we will also release a blessing that the Lord will open the eyes of your, the revelatory eyes of your heart, of your life, in your ears, that you may hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, so that you can dream, you know, have these dream visions that would, you know, that God can speak directly into your life, you know, in the night season, as it will help you come into a greater place in your destiny walk with the Lord. So I'm going to give the mic to my husband, Jeffrey, and he is going to invoke the Holy Spirit. You know, he's already here, but, you know, ask for a blessing. As the Lord says, we receive not because we ask not, and we are going to ask for the Father's blessing for this wonderful show. Okay, hold on.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Praise you and we thank you. And we ask God the Holy Spirit to come. We stir up the fire within us and ask for the fire to fall down from heaven upon us. And open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may hear the word that will change our situations, that will heal our minds, that will restore our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for holding me all this time in a manner you, in which you've never let go. And I thank you for being there. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, I impart to the listening audience gift of freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from illness. Freedom from anxiety. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We have approximately an hour and 6 minutes for this broadcast, and so we are going to try to cover as much ground as, you know, the Father wills. And what I just ask right now, that you would go into the cars, the living rooms, the hearts, anywhere your people live and are operating right now, that, you know, when they get this on iTunes and put it on their iPods or iPhones through iTunes, Lord, that you would just invade them with your presence and just let them know individually, every individual signs of how much you love them and how much you want them to believe and understand that they are totally forgiven, totally forgiven of past sins visited upon them by others in the area of sexual abuse especially. It could be physical abuse, any kind of abuse that would cause some kind of alienation or that would, you know, that the enemy would try to use to cause some kind of alienation in body, mind, soul, spirit, will, or emotion as it relates, Lord, as it relates to your plans and purposes for their lives and as it relates to them forming a relationship with you through Jesus and in the person of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, remove these blocks and these hindrances as the word goes out. And let it not come back void, but let it accomplish what it came to accomplish in Jesus' holy and awesome name. In the name above every name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read something from Isaiah 59 because people need to know that the Lord's hand and the Lord's arm is not short at all. Okay, he wills to forgive you. He wills to heal you, okay? You just have to trust him with everything in your life. It says from Isaiah 59, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not fear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. And this could be lies against you. You could be your own worst enemy, never mind anybody else. No one calls for justice. No one pleads his case with integrity. And this is what the Lord's waiting for. He's waiting for even us to advocate for our own justice, okay? You know, before his throne. We can do this, all right? We feel weak at the beginning. We can have other people come alongside of us, other believers who are victorious in their walk with the Lord. Doesn't mean that things will not happen, but, you know, at least they have come to that place where they can stand in the gap with you and for you on your behalf, okay? They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats the eggs will die. And when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil. Okay. But, you know, the Lord comes and he covers all our offenses with his blood. Okay. But this is what happens in our hearts and minds. All right, you know, when the Lord looks at this, when he looks at the injustices that we do against ourselves because we ignore that part of ourselves that he wants to help us with because of what Jesus did on Calvary 2,000 years ago, this is his reaction to us because, because the stuff is still there. So the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal, as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies, retribution to his foes. And he knows, you know, it's not the, so much, you know, the enemies of, like, as far as flesh is concerned, it's the enemies of the satanic kingdom that are causing this decay, causing this destruction to man's soul, okay? So this is what he, you know, the Lord through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, and what he did, is going to do to the hordes of hell, so that he can get to, you know, his people in a greater way. And this is what many prophets have been prophesying within the last couple of weeks. They've been seeing this in the spirit about, you know, that the earthquakes and the tsunami warning. This is all, you know, even though man was picking it up on its in his instruments, in the scientific world, that was just God saying, I'm showing up on the radar screen. I'm going to let my people know I'm showing up. And then when they think that there's going to be sudden destruction, all of a sudden, you know, he begins to work in the spirit. But he just wanted to let everyone know, take notice, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to shape the nations. I am going to show up on the radar screen, and everybody will know. My people will know that I've come. I'm coming, and I'm coming with my angels. I'm walking throughout the land, okay? And if you notice, things got clearer spiritually. There's, you know, greater power release. I received this dream, you know, as, you know, when the Lord had, you know, he had revealed this to me. And we did the other radio show, and it just blessed us. I believe that radio show that we had done was the thing that released the blessing for me to go, you know, to get this, receive this dream. So I suppose you want to hear what the dream is all about, huh? Well, I'm going to go to my iPod. I have an iPod Touch that the Lord blessed me with when I got my tonic return. And and it was because I had downloaded an iTunes application through DreamLogger. DreamLogger is, you know, is a dream journal that has four parts to it. A place where you can put your new dreams in it, and then the journal part, your favorites, and much more. You're going to go to streamsministries.com. That's John Paul Jackson's site, okay? And he has been teaching on understanding dreams and visions, and still does, along with the art of hearing God, 101. And he recently, him and his team came up with this dream application where it would be easy, you know, for people to record their dreams. There's also like a dream guide of the different ways to describe your dream, and you can tag it, and you can do different things with it. And I had been receiving dreams even before this, and I would be moved to the Lord to record it into an MP3 format, and then the Lord gave me the grace and the gift to be able to put it on CD to some music in the background, because it was just so vivid. I think the next step is to make it into like one of those short movies. And then I would add prayer as an element to that, because it was something that, like I said, you know, it seems to be that when the Lord gives me these dreams to set me free, he gives me this dream and the prayer to pray over other people in the body of Christ that are going through similar situations, and so that they can be set free as well. So that's how he does it. It seems like the more that I step out in that realm, the more he seems to give me, the more dreams he seems to give me. And so it's just awesome what he does and how he does it. Okay, so I'm going to go to my dream journal, and I'm going to read the dream, okay? The only thing is the smaller letters that I'm accustomed to. I wear bifocals now, but sometimes I don't need them, and sometimes I do. And first thing in the morning, I seem to not need them, but let me just go to the dream, all right? And as I talk about the dream, I'm going to talk about the symbols behind these dreams. because the Lord gives me symbols. Sometimes he gives me the interpretation and the meaning as it pertains to me individually. And then there's, of course, an overall collective way, that he talks to the body of Christ and John Paul Jackson has these dream symbols in his, in this application. All right, so I'm going to go to this, and the title of my dream is, no, that's not it, that's not the one. Okay, the other one, The Thin Veil, okay. Which dreams is The Thin Veil. We talked about that, how in the last show that we did on Faith Talks by Prayer on Blog Talk Radio, we talked about how, you know, the signs and wonders that would be happening as heaven comes closer to the earth, that many of God's people are going to be having these experiences wherever they are, where they, you know, there's going to be, because the veil, there's a thin veil now in a greater way between the heavens and the earth. You're going to go to the heaven, and you're going to step into another place, in a certain part of the heavens, and, you know, and bring back things to the earth, knowledge to the earth, you know, with the angels and, these angelic visitations are, the Lord sending the angels to help promote his kingdom on the earth. So we will go to believers that are, clear vessels that have surrendered totally to him, as the invisible become visible, before their eyes. So here we go. Wow, bear with me. It's called The Thin Veil. The dream begins with me traveling in a car with a companion. Sometimes it's my husband, sometimes it's somebody else that, without a face, and this wasn't a faceless person, so there's a good chance it was an angel. At first, it was dark, and there was much wind and rain and tornadoes from a distance. Some were caused by dark clouds. Others were caused by white clouds. And I'm going to start right here. In these dreams of this nature, there's usually a couple of things going on. The dark tornadoes represent spiritual warfare, and the white tornadoes actually represent a blessing of God, a move of the Spirit. And lots of times, for some reason in my life, when God wants to do something, that there's a combination of the warfare, dark tornadoes with the white tornado. Okay, anyways, these two things were happening at the same time. These tornadoes had a mind of their own and seemed to be programmed from within. Like there seemed to be something operating inside of these tornadoes, and these tornadoes had a purpose. It appeared that one of the tornadoes spotted me and started coming over to me. It looked like it was a gray, neutral tornado. Yeah, it just was so bizarre. I had a sense that I needed to take cover at a high place, and that high place was instructed by the companion to get as low as I can so this would not overtake me, until a whirlwind passed by. Now, we were in a car, looking for a high place, and in my mind all along I kept thinking, well, that's not right. We should be looking for a low place, like a ditch to get in and make sure that, we don't get taken up by this wind and flung around. But I was instructed by the companion to go to a high place and then get on my face. So I knew at that point that this is a dream and it's a vision. And there were these instructions were for a certain, a certain reason. And as I was going over the dream, the Lord reminded me that the high place is worship. Getting low is humility, and so I thought this, as this was happening, as I was seeking shelter on a high place face down, I thought, because of what I was telling you before, I thought this was this is wrong information. This is going to be the last, I don't even know if I should trust this person, I said, and this is the. So I was thinking also, this is the last day here on the earth when then the storm passed by. After the storm passed by, it was really very powerful. I want to tell you, it was very powerful. There was electricity in the air. It was so powerful. But when I got to my face on the ground, I was actually stuck to the ground. So it was just no way, you know, being the ground became one. It was just no way that I was going to be flying away. So I was confident about that. And then after it passed by, the angel or the companion said to me, "You get up now." I said, "Okay, I'm up." And, you know, as I was, you know, and then I walked down to where, you know, the car was. And then I looked up again, and I saw these other unusual cloud formations, okay? I'm going to go back here. I thought it was my last day here on the earth when the storm passed me by. Companion told me to get up to my feet. And as I did, there was a clear blue sky over my head with some unusual cloud formations. What I noticed upon getting up was when I looked back down to where I was laying, I saw that there was a red cross. And then I didn't see that before. There was a red cross. It was like jewels. It was made up of different kinds of jewels, but it was primarily red. Okay. And it was shiny. And so it was very unusual. It was just, everything was just happening at once. So what I noticed upon getting up was that I was laying on this red cross. And this is the place of surrender, according to the companion. And I knew that in my heart. Then all of a sudden, there was another wind that was not as strong as the storm wind. The cloud formation coming over to me was flying over to me. It was flying over to me, it was taking a shape. It looked like it was becoming some kind of animal. Then as it got closer to me, and I noticed it was a lion, a white lion. A lion flew over to me, and when it flew over me, it flew around me, okay? And then it flew around me again. And then it came back, and it flew around me the third time. And then it blew hot wind over me. And as it blew hot wind over me, I had this hot chill go through my body. Like, every cell in my being was infused with this hot wind. This is so unusual. I was actually having fun at this point in the dream, right? I knew it was from the Lord eventually. I got to that place. Hallelujah. So the lion flew over to me, and then it flew over me again in a hot chill. I let out a roar, and the scene changed. I was back on bed, in my bed, on my prayer couch, actually, and this time towards my left, and I thought I was waking up, but I really wasn't. I went into a vision within a dream, and I looked towards my left where my husband's computer was, and I noticed he wasn't there. He was there before I went to sleep. Then he probably wasn't there in the dream vision. And in the armoire that we have, it houses a small computer screen, but this time the whole armoire became like a big HD screen, okay? And but there was a show on. I'm saying to myself, I don't remember getting cable because we do everything on the internet. But there was a show that was coming on, and it was an angelic show. And anyways, it was like a film over it. Like, it was very transparent. It was like white light of glory and silhouette of these wonderful, these angels, these beautiful angels. And they were like, it was just so peaceful watching this angelic show, and I was wondering who was going to appear, and I saw these little girls at different ages going up to these angels, and they were like, you know, playing patty cake with them, and these girls were just dancing around with the angels, and the angels were dancing with the girls, were like flying and dancing, and it's just so beautiful. It was so wonderful. I was like, wow, I never saw a show like this before, but I noticed one thing. Like, these girls look awfully familiar. Who are they? And one was like 3 years old, the other one was 5, and the other one was 8 and 16. And I remember the 8-year-old because, you know, when I made it, they had like communion dresses and they had pearls in their hair. But they were going up to just give different things to the angel. And I believe these angels were actually around the throne of the Father, and they were giving these girls, giving gifts to the angels, and the angels were to give them to the Father. And there was so much love going around. And they were me at different ages, because, you know, what was familiar was the hairstyles that our mother used to do with our hair. And I was like, wow. And then at that instant, when I recognized that they were all me at different ages, these were the ages that significant. This was significant because these ages that I just mentioned were the ages that I was abused in my life, that when I experienced this sexual abuse. You know, I'm just going to say for what it is. They were turning points and things like that. And I had been going through a lot of inner healing throughout my life. At various times, at various seasons, you know. Not that I didn't think that I was forgiven. I forgave myself. I went to, examining what I believe about myself, God, and others through the ungodly beliefs, the lies that I, you know, had taken on over the years that were stumbling blocks. I understood that the demonic realm had a thing in it, you know, working through people that were not redeemed, and or maybe if they were backsliding. So, you know, I knew all that, and I went through that, and I went through the generational stuff, but there was still an element of like questioning, Lord, did you really forgive me? I mean, is this means of, you know, way of doing ministry, or, you know, I know you're gone. I mean, did you really accept it? Are these people really telling me the truth, or am I like presupposing this? That was always in the back of my mind, you know, because my background is psychology. You know what I mean? I'm like, all this stuff is like therapy, but, you know, it was more like, Lord, I was always concerned, is this really like you? I mean, are you really as merciful? And then, you know, as you say you are, because there are people that, you know, claim that God is a God of judgment and fire and brimstone and, you know, and things like that, you know. And, you know, when people get sexually abused, it's a lifelong process. It's a lifelong process of healing. But you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the realms of glory, you know, and I think that's the truth. You don't look back to the past, but you always are living in the moment. You experience Jesus in a moment as you go towards your future. But what happens is this thing where people, you know, there are trigger points, and that's just God saying, not the person, it's not the people around you. This is what I'm bringing up, okay? And so he done that a lot in my life, you know, by the grace of God, by his grace. And this time it was very different because God just wanted to show me that he embraced all those girls. All the little girls that I brought to him, you know. I brought him all the, you know, my different parts of my life, you know, when I was those little girls. And he showed me that night that he accepted their offering. And he restored the innocence to the little girls in my life, those girls that are part of me. I'm trying not to sound fair. I mean, I guess I'm not. But he received them, and he loved them back to life. And I don't have to worry anymore that I can go into my, you know, I can continue to walk in my present moment knowing that those areas of my life were totally healed, set free, and that that the innocence of those ages were restored. And this is what he wants for all of you, okay? He wants this. Many people are going back and forth. That's why there's people that are backsliding. That's why, there are people that have multiple marriages because there's a part of them that's divorced inside themselves. So, you know, how can you be one with someone if you're still separated within yourself, separated from your own healing, separated from, the move of what God wants to do, through you with other people. You know, you have to come to terms with that. You have to come to terms that God loves you so much, he's just so merciful. And what I'm going to do right now, I just want, I'm going to play this song by Brian Dirksen. The first song that came on, Father, I Want You to Hold Me, is what this is all about. The Lord holds us. His arms are not too short. You know, and he holds us through our dark nights where he's trying to get into our minds and hearts that He really loves us, and if we can only believe it, if we can only get there. But it's a process. But there is a time that the light is going to dawn, and when you least expect it, and because He wants you to inherit, and be a partaker of the glory that He's releasing on this earth right now, and He doesn't want any more hindrances. So I'm going to play this, and I'm going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to just come in there and saturate your heart and just receive His mercy right now in Jesus' holy name. Okay.
So
just thank you, Lord, for being such a merciful God, your Father. And, Lord, I just bring you everybody that's listening right now. I bring you their lives, their little children within them that needs this reassurance that you are indeed a merciful and loving Father, that you understand because you are God, and that you have witnessed these abuses and atrocities in their life, and that you acknowledge that they are forgiven, that you never stop loving them, that you have a glorious future for them, and that you want to restore the purity, innocence, and integrity and dignity that they had at the beginning of their life here on the earth, that you want to restore back to them tenfold. And I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that surpasses all understanding, God, in their hearts and minds. So we just ask that, you know, they just come forward to you. We thank you for the gifts that these children are offering to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for touching them by your Spirit. Thank you for the big hug that you give them. And thank you, Lord, that your arm is not too short, that it's a big arm, and that you are giving them a hug of eternity, like you did my husband. Lord, I thank you for giving them a new name. The Father wants to give each and every one of you a new name, okay? And I want to just go back for a minute to the dream. And I noticed that these girls had pearls, you know, and, the pearl of great price was given, you know, and Jesus is the pearl of great price. But there was these girls had, like, crowns. It was like a crown of pearls. And he placed it on each one of their heads, you know, and it was some of the pearls were sprinkled off the hair, but it was it's some kind of adornment, you know, a place, you know, that marks the new name, the restoration of all things. And so the restoration of all things starts with God's people and then spreads throughout the earth and manifests, you know, in the physical realm on the earth through the natural resources and to the environment, through nature. But let's just, I want to go to Isaiah 62 because during that song, the Lord was showing me, you know, his desire for giving us a new name, okay? He considers us a new Jerusalem because of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or your name desolate. I want to stop there. We had my friend over. He came over for prayer Thursday night, and I shared with him the dream. But, you know, he really, really wanted prayer because he was describing how he felt, and I really believe a lot of people feel the same way, but it's a place where, in the spirit, where, you know, even in our desolation, you know, God is, you know, he's going to restore the city. He had described himself as a desolate city after a nuclear blast, you know. He felt like he was like Afghanistan after, you know, there was a lot of bombing going on in him, you know, by the, you know, enemy's forces and things like that. And now he says, he wanted the restoration of his desolation, you know. And I said, it was such a wonderful analogy because the Lord uses that to describe the ruins of Jerusalem, and then he describes his plan of restoration. So let's go back to Isaiah 52. No longer will they call you deserted or your name desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your name Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. And I really believe that those little girls in the dream, which were me at different ages, were being married to the Lord. And it was so beautiful to see the wedding. Amen. I have posted a watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Now, you know, that's why these prayer movements are happening. But where does prayer begin? It begins within. So once we receive the goodness of the Lord and the restoration, we cannot be silent, you know, until the Lord makes, establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. And how he's going to do that? He's not going to do it in the physical Israel until, you know, it's in the people of Israel in the spirit, which is the believers who receive the Holy Spirit in the New Jerusalem. And then it will go, you know, then Israel, all of Israel will be saved. But the Lord is saying that he's making you know, we cannot give him any rest in the spirit and in the realm of praise and worship until, you know, until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. And then we're talking now Israel, the nation of Israel, country Israel. So that's our purpose. And that's one of the purposes of restoration and him restoring our ancient ruins, our deserted places. We are a prophetic archetype of what God's doing in Israel. That was a little bit of psychology that slipped right in there, but type, T-I-T-T-Y-P-E. Anyways, so, you know, this is so awesome what God is doing and how he's really giving us a greater way as we get, you know, receive healing and walk in a greater blessing. But we have understanding, you know, that it seems to open up eyes. So we thank you, Lord, for opening up the spiritual eyes of your people that are listening, that doesn't listen to this. And we'll let this go, let this broadcast go throughout the earth as well, especially, you know, through the internet, through the social media networking. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is sworn by his right hand and his mighty arm. Never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled, but for those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord. And those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Pass through the gates, clear the way of the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called, sought after, the city no longer deserted. Deserted. So, you see, that is, you know, quite a promise from the Lord. And, you know, so I go back to that dream, and that is why my companion told me to go to a high place and get down as low as I can. The high place is worship. So it really, really can relate to Isaiah 62. So I just wanted to thank you, Lord, for being such a faithful God to your people, and it's just amazing. Lord, you are so amazing. And, you know, before we end, we have about 26 minutes left, okay? We are going to break for a commercial. And then I'm going to come back, all right? And the Father, you know, we're going to pray the year with the Lord's favor upon everyone. And then the Father's blessing. We're going to play something from Brian Dirksen's album, Father. And we're going to release a Father's blessing for his people, because many people are hindered because they haven't received a Father's blessing from their own fathers, you know, who, you know, didn't come into their spiritual place. But through our prayers, okay, we can bring them, okay, and then we can receive the Father's blessing directly from heaven. So that's going to be so awesome. So, well, you know, I'm going to go into a commercial, certainly a new commercial, and we will come back and I will read from Isaiah 61, and then we'll go into the Father's blessing song, okay, as we end. All right, thank you.
Alternative to food shopping. Find us on the web at www.servenewengland.org.
WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, Boston, Massachusetts.
Hello. Okay. Well, you got a mouthful right there. Okay. Anyways, this is Dr. Shirley Kiannis here, General Manager of WSCIRO. We are coming back to Faith Talks Live Prayer now, where we are going to talk about healing beyond the veil. And let's see, I am in Isaiah 61, all right? And this is the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord upon us, okay? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, is on you, because the Lord has anointed you to preach good news to the poor. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release them from darkness, from the prisoner of darkness, the prison of darkness, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. I really believe that this is the heart of the Lord, that in our brokenness, like our brokenness that, you know, we each have a certain level of brokenness, others have less than it than others. And, you know, the Lord carries us through because he has a greater purpose. It's part of the cross, but then there's the resurrection power. And the resurrection power is, you know, it comes from the life lessons that are taught, that are caught, that are healed. And then we become, you know, then our story, our situation, our experience becomes a way of healing for others, okay? Because it somehow reveals the mystery of the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in a particular situation, in the particular situation at hand. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make them an everlasting covenant. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge that they are people blessed of the Lord. And I just want to just stop right here and then I'll finish this. But the Lord brought to my mind a vision that I actually had when I was observing a group of students getting off a bus, a school bus, the other day in traffic. They were the most unusual thing happened. Now, most of the time, kids, they do their own thing. They're very free. They're all, you know, each individual is doing their individualistic thing. But in this case, the Holy Spirit wanted to show me something about the generation of elementary kids that had grown up. And as they were getting off the bus, they were getting off the bus in unison. They were getting off the bus like they were walking. They had the same walk. They were walking in some kind of rhythm. It was very unusual. And as I saw this, the Lord said, I mean, they were walking like to a. They all had the same step at the same time. And the Lord said, I am placing in this generation a cadence in the spirit, a cadence where they will be obedient to my flow, and they will move when I say to move. They will go, and he's going to work in the ordinary circumstances of their life. He will go when they say to go, and this is the generation that's probably like 8 years old and on up. And it was just amazing that this was happening, that it happened before my eyes. I had a time, but he was showing me the future glory. He was showing me what he's placed in them now. Each generation, he places a certain gift, a universal gift in, that would be a great benefit to the body of Christ and to ushering in the kingdom of God. With our generation, the Lord is saying that we were the forerunners, and we were the trumpeters to bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth, to proclaim it, to announce it. So as the Lord wakes us up, he begins to use us to mentor the next generation. So I thought, that was neat. I saw this, and it gave me so much hope, you know, for the future of the young people. Anyways, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for as the soil makes a sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations. And he does this in his people and through his people. So, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for releasing this blessing of the Father. I just thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing right now. In the body of Christ, how you are just restoring ancient ruins. And, Lord, you are just marrying your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you release your blessing from heaven? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Daddy. We love you, and we just thank you for cleaning us up, Lord, and just restoring the innocence that, you know, to those places in our lives that, you know, were damaged. And we know that you are a God that loves restoration and cleaning your people off once they come to you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your love is not limited, and it's not limited to any particular person, any particular place or people, groups, any particular political party, anything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's all about restoration. I mean, the Lord not only wants to restore people, he wants to restore the earth. We come out of the earth, and he wants to restore the earth. And we have about 9 minutes remaining, and, you know, as always, I enjoy these shows because he shows me things as I'm doing these shows about what he's doing, you know. He surprises us. He loves to surprise us. He's so full of love, compassion, and surprises. And, well, just let your people experience this daily in their lives in a greater way, in a way they haven't done before. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to leave with this, this anticipation of the new heavens and the new earth, all right, because in this generation, we are going to see this. We're going to witness it. It's already happening now as we become restored through the ministry of restoration, reconciliation and restoration. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives out a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered a curse. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat, whereas the days of a tree will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a blessed people by the Lord, they and the descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. But I thank you, Lord, for that is a day that we are just about entering into right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just ask for an extended blessing to fall upon any of the hearers that hear. Is that, Lord, that you would open up their eyes as, so they can hear in a clearer way, in a greater way, what your Holy Spirit is saying, our teacher, our comforter, and the lover of our souls. We thank you. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessing, your Father's blessing, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Thank you, Lord. Well, I just wanted to say I'm going to release an anointing for you to have sweet dreams in His Holy Spirit. And if any of you want to share any of your dreams, the best thing to do is to go to Dream Logger. Go to streamsministry.com. Look on John Paul Jackson's website. If you have an iPod, iPhone, download the application. It's only $1.99, so you can't go wrong. I know the iPod is expensive, but we can believe God that the Lord will put one right in your hand, and you can always go to the website and sign in and read the dream journals of others and also, you know, ask questions. So, well, God bless you and have a wonderful day. I love you and enjoy the spring weather. Bye-bye.